Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Another one of the 10 inmates who escaped to New Orleans jail last week has been captured. Five are still on the run. And CBS's Katie Weiss says one maintenance worker has been charged with helping them.
The sheriff says that three other staff members have been suspended, others have been reassigned, and that more staff arrests could be coming today.
House lawmakers are still debating the president's budget bill. They've been at it all night long. Democratic Congressman Rick Larson.
This bill makes the largest cuts to health care access and food assistance in American history.
Sales at Target fell sharply in the first quarter. The retailer warned they'll slip this year as consumers cut back on spending. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Although Target did cite tariffs as a complicating factor in its earnings miss, it also said that the rollback of their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives may have hurt its performance.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin lawmakers are considering regulations on AI images, but the federal government could get in the way, Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Sharing AI-generated deepfake images could soon be a felony in Wisconsin. The state Senate approved a measure in a unanimous vote last week. The senator who authored the bill says the law is needed to keep up with technology and to protect people from harassment and intimidation. The bill now moves to the Assembly for further debate.
Meanwhile, Congress is considering a bill that includes many initiatives from the Trump administration, including cuts to Medicare and tax cuts. Also included in that bill is a provision added by the Republicans that would ban states from attempting to regulate AI for 10 years. More than 100 organizations have signed onto a letter to Congress saying not allowing states to implement and enforce their own laws on AI could cause harm. President Donald Trump has already rolled back some AI rules put in place by former President Joe Biden. Law enforcement in Neillsville is warning that local businesses should inspect U.S. currency carefully, especially $100 bills. Fake bills have been discovered in circulation. At a quick glance, they may look real, but if you examine them, you will clearly see the phrase, "for motion picture use only." It appears across the top on the front of the bill and at the bottom on the back side. Possession of these bills is not illegal, however, attempting to use them as real money is a crime. Be sure to double-check all large bills before accepting them. If you find a fake, hold on to it or call the local police and they will come and collect it. The Nakusa VFW will be hosting Memorial Day services at the Port Edward Cemetery. The service will begin at 10 a.m. on Monday and music will be provided by the Port Edwards High School Band. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Home runs for the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Orioles in Milwaukee last night, 5-2. Home runs from Reese Hoskins, Bryce Turang, and Sal Frelick.
I feel like I'm swinging it good. I mean, the home run swing, kind of just like the whole inning, how that transpired, just the guys before me. Yeah, Reese busting out of the box on a pop-up that he gets the second on, Isaac getting him over, which then allows me to go up there and, you know, try to hit a fly ball where other at-bats, you know, that's never my credit to the other guys in the lineup.
The Brewers have now won 3 in a row and will go for the sweep. Baltimore has now lost 8 in a row, even after firing their manager over the weekend. In college football, Wisconsin waiting to learn if some recruits will commit to playing for the Badgers next year. Defensive coordinator Jim Tressel on what he see so far from his defensive front.
The one thing I'm seeing is a lot of confidence in the defensive front's ability to be tough and difference makers. How physical they're playing, because offensive line doesn't know if they're going to get hit in the mouth or if they're going to get shook a little bit.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have more rain on the way today. In fact, we could end up with another quarter inch or more by the time everything winds down this evening. Cloudy, a little breezy today with a high in the mid-50s tonight. The rain will end. We'll drop to the low 40s. Tomorrow, the sunshine returns with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome artist and co-director of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, Shane McAdam, and Travel Wisconsin's senior communication specialist, Logan Rogie, talks about upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, May 21st, 2025. Sam is on the board with friends. I'll explain in just a moment, but first let me tell you that Devin Remiker is standing by. He is a candidate for chair of the State Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He will be joining the show today. Another candidate for DPW chair, Joe Zepecki, will be here tomorrow. William Garcia will be here on Friday. So over the next 3 days in our 8 o'clock hour, you'll get a second round of hearing from all three candidates who want to run the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Once Ben Wickler steps down, Ben Wickler has made an endorsement in that race. It's something I'm sure Devin will want to talk about in just a couple of moments. But first, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot and what could only be described as a mob down at the control room in Madison, the Dom, Sam, Parker, Luke experience. Four gentlemen.
What a menagerie.
I know. I mean, the guys look like an album cover. Their debut album should be out soon. Sam, what's the sweatshirt say there, buddy?
Make boys cry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm with that.
Is that a reference I'm not getting?
I don't think it's a reference to anything. I just thought it was a funny sweatshirt.
Okay. All right. Brittany is loving this. It's okay.
Yeah, I am.
No, that's great. So for folks who missed it a couple hours ago when the show first started, we are welcoming Mr. Parker here to the show. We first met with Dom yesterday. Sam is getting set to move into, you know, much more credible employment circumstances. And
oh, I don't know about that.
Luke is keeping his distance from anything involving me in live radio because he's no dummy. So that's how he got to be in the position where he is. But he's having a great time with these great gentlemen, Dom and Sam and Parker, all working on making sure that all of these shows run a lot tighter than the host would otherwise let them. So welcome, guys, to all of you. And Brittany, let's welcome you back in reluctantly. Because, again, it's not you. It's not you. It's this, whatever this is, which I hear is eventually going to move out of here. I mean, obviously it would anyway. It's all in the word eventually. But when, Brittany? When is the sun and the warmth come back?
It is taking its sweet time, but we're okay. We've got this. We're going to get through this. I mean, we got 2 inches of rain that already accumulated into Janesville, Fond du Lac, and south areas. Across to Eau Claire, picking up a good inch to an inch and a half. A lot of us getting doused with that rain, but it is starting to wind down. Far northwest, you're starting to see that start to sweep south through the state as the system departs off to the east. But again, it's going to take its time. We're still looking at light rain expected throughout most of the day for most of us. Up north, that, of course, is going to be gone by the afternoon. Down south, you could still see a few spotty sprinkles still lingering through early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, the sunshine and the warmth are right behind it. Now, I'm not talking about the warmth in the 80s. Sorry, that's not coming our way for this weekend. But we are looking a little bit more seasonal into those mid-60s to upper 60s as we go through Memorial Day weekend. So we will hit 60 degrees for most of the state tomorrow. But today, we still have to deal with upper 40s far south and upper 50s far north. And those dreary skies still continuing. Areas of fog. And then tonight, another frost advisory is expected, especially far north. We're still under one right now. And we've still got a beach hazard statement on Lake Michigan where those waves are rocking and rolling. They were up to 9 feet yesterday. They're about 6 feet today. So wow. Some crummy weather all around. But things are getting better just in time for the long weekend.
Yeah. Shiju writes on YouTube, this is lovely tea and writing weather. And I think we talked about it being International Tea Day. So, yes, it's definitely, if you're going to have a warm beverage, a day for it like that. Rob from Tigerton says, I like Brittany's sweatshirt. We mentioned Sam's sweatshirt. You've got one of the Great Lakes.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I try to, bright yellow, brighten the day or something, too.
There you go. And Rob also mentioned things seem to be getting serious out there. Colorado weather states, because of cuts to the National Weather Service, with this being severe weather and hurricane system, season rather, that the work is still getting done, but only because the people who haven't been fired yet are taking on extra shifts and, working overnights and things, that not a sustainable system for, putting warnings out.
No, it's not. A lot of the National Weather Service is getting tired. I mean, they're covering for different regions, not just different local offices like they used to. They're different regions. And I know that the Hurricane Center is actually asking for employees internally to help them out because the hiring freeze. So they don't know what to do. They're just scrambling, trying to pull from everywhere. And eventually, I think we're going to hit burnout and we're going to hit the results for us getting a little scary, too.
Yeah. And we don't, we don't want to see that happen anywhere, much less, right here in our backyard. But it is a potential. Last thing before you go, the picture on your screen there, the Dom, Sam, Parker, Luke experience. Did you expect to see a frame like right before or after it that says a please don't destroy video, from the guys on Saturday Night Live? Doesn't it look like they're about to do one of those?
Yes, it does. Oh my gosh.
I think this is just the greatest thing. I think we've opened up a new chapter here. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow. Hey, this is National Bike Month. Today is not a great day for a bicycle commute, but there are still plenty of days in Wisconsin where it would be nice to ride if, we had proper trails and supportive employers and bike-friendly businesses. Well, there is a national group that rates all of these things, and we have a link in today's Up North News daily newsletter all about Wisconsin's most bike-friendly hometowns and organizations. Now, if instead you're one of those people that sits behind the wheel all the time, especially in our larger communities, have you ever wondered, how much does it cost you, quite literally, to sit in traffic? You can read about that expense in today's edition. And also, linked in our newsletter and new in our website, a guide to all the best races in Wisconsin this summer. Everything from a walk to a fun run to a 5K, 10K, half and full marathons. All that you'll find at upnorthnewswi.com. 8:13 now. And let's visit with Devin Remiker, who is a candidate for state party chair for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, one of three candidates. We'll talk to the other candidates tomorrow and again on Friday. Devin, welcome back to the program. Nice to have you here today.
Great to be here again. Thanks for having me, Pat.
We are getting into that point. You're heading to Memorial Day weekend and then the last weekend of the month. And I know from working in a county party myself that it's in that middle part of the month where if you want to go talk to county Democratic parties in this case, you got to be on the road ceaselessly. And you certainly were, along with other candidates, hitting not just county parties, but congressional district level party meetings. And so since you first got into the race, we talked to you shortly after you announced. Tell us more about the campaign. You've picked up some very key endorsements and met a whole lot of people along the way.
Absolutely. Well, picked up a lot of mileage, that's for sure. I have traveled the state from Hayward to Kenosha and to Chippewa Falls, all over. And I think my campaign now has hit 100 public endorsers. Some folks who are also supporting me, but not ready to slap their name on the website yet. But I'm really proud to have, Chair Ben Wickler, former Chair Martha Lanning, former Chair Martha Love, former Chair Jeffrey Neubauer, and over 20 county party chairs from every corner of the state. along with a host of other party delegates, leaders, joining my team. And I think folks are really just ready and itching to get back in the fight as quickly as possible this year, and are excited to support me as the candidate who can do that.
I don't know if the endorsement from Ben Wickler, how much of it comes as a surprise to folks, if they thought that the outgoing chair was not going to endorse throughout this race, or if it's something that makes sense, since, as he said, he's been working side by side with you for a big chunk of his time as chair here. Would you say that Ben's endorsement was, were you expecting him not to endorse throughout the entirety of this race for chair?
You know, I got into this race not knowing if he would or would not endorse me, but I'm very glad he did. Obviously, Ben is someone that I have worked closely with for the past 6 years. About half of his tenure, I was his executive director, so working as his right hand. And honestly, I think that a lot of folks are just hoping that a lot of the great things that we have built together over those 6 years can continue, and that we have the resources we need to compete, that we can keep running the best-in-class program and be the strongest state party in the country. And I'm absolutely honored to have his endorsement, and really excited about the reception I've already got from having that out there in the world.
How do you feel like that is going to translate? Because obviously Ben was well regarded in the state, and one could certainly say very well regarded outside of the state, bringing so much attention to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin that wasn't there previously. Do you feel, though, that puts a little extra pressure on you to be following in Ben and keeping that national spotlight on Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think all of us candidates felt like, there was some pretty, pretty big shoes to fill at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And, I think my unique strength is I just happen to know how big those shoes are, better than anybody else, having worked with them so closely. But certainly it does add a little bit of pressure, having his direct support to make sure I could rise to the occasion. But I feel really confident given my experiences, whether it was heading up the People v. Musk, the effort that not only helped Susan Crawford win the Supreme Court race, but also, sort of sent Elon Musk packing from the White House. And as we heard yesterday, maybe from politics in general, I think I have a pretty good track record of being able to excite people in the state and engage audiences nationally as well.
We're talking to Devin Remiker, a candidate for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That decision will be made by delegates to the state Democratic Party convention in Wisconsin Dells next month. I've asked before, and I will ask all three candidates again, to help break past any initial, say, geographic assumptions about candidates that, you'll be seen as the insider candidate / the Madison candidate. Joe Zepecki might be seen as the Milwaukee candidate or the outside of the current party candidate. William Garcia would be seen more as like the outstate or the rural candidate. But in all cases, since we can't combine the best of all of you into a blender and get one, super chair, we have to ask all of you, how do you break out of those perceived boxes? What is it that people should know about you beyond, what makes up that initial feeling? Like, well, you've been inside DPW, so if we vote for you, there won't be much to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think I sort of came to DPW from a bit of a different background. I was born and raised in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, out in the country, as we called it, out on County Highway 42, which a lot of people know as they're driving up to Door County through Two Rivers. And I was on an acre of land surrounded by farm fields that my great grandparents bought from a farmer. We weren't farmers ourselves. Definitely was a very rural upbringing. And then I went to school at UW-La Crosse. I sort of was kind of like the outstate political operative for the first half of my career in politics, working for State Representative Steve Doyle and then Congressman Ron Kind after that over the sprawling 3rd Congressional District. So although I've certainly been at the party for a while, I think I do bring a somewhat unique perspective given my political experience on the ground. And I've been really glad that I had that because it helped me figure out that we need to make sure county parties get more support all around this state. That's something we did through the KIND campaign, helping to support year-round offices like the Portage County Democrats. And it makes a huge difference for county parties to be able to have that home base and that presence in their community.
Devin Remiker is a candidate for state party chair. Again, that will be decided on at the state Democratic Party convention in Wisconsin Dells coming up a little later on this month. Still ahead, we are going to be talking to Melissa Baldoff about our weekly climate check update. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletters, plural. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to do that. And a reminder, there's some daytime baseball today. Brewers versus the Orioles pregame starts at 11:35 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. We have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're welcoming into the studio our great friend, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties, Terry John.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you with us, Terry. How are you doing?
Great to be here. I'm doing very well.
Good, good. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time, and of course, everything you and your team over there at the United Way are doing for our community. We're going to get into some really fun, cool events that you guys have going on. You want to start with Stuff to Desk? You want to start there? Registration,
sure.
Some of that?
Absolutely. So registration is open for school supplies for next school year. People don't really like hearing that before the school year ends, but you know, this is the reality we live in before summer gets crazy. But registration is open. So if you have a need for school supplies for your student, we say as a general rule, if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, you qualify for free school supplies. But we also understand sometimes there's some, you know, an emergency happens, a hardship happens. So there is a form that you do need to fill out to get your students registered. We need to know what grade they're going to be in, what school they're going to be at. This is serving all of Southwood County schools. So this would be if your child goes or will next school year go to Wisconsin Rapids, Port Edwards, Nakusa, Emmanuel, the Assumption Catholic School System, or, you know, there may be other needs that people have. But this is designed for Southwood County residents. And we do require a registration form. So you can find that form by visiting uwswac.org. And it is literally the first image that pops up on the website, Stuff the Desk. And then we need information about your student so that we can make sure that they you know, get the supplies that are appropriate to their grade and location. That registration is open until August 1st. You know, sometimes, you know, I guess I was being a little cheeky before about, you know, school's not even out yet. And we're going into talking about the next school year. But sometimes the chaos of summer just gets in the way, right? So if you, you know, if you know you're going to have this need and you want to just get it taken care of, you know, by all means do that. And you can register multiple students.
With that, you can also pick a time slot and get that taken care of so you know that you got the time slot that's going to fit best for your schedule.
Correct. As part of registration, you tell us when you'll be, you know, completing your pickup. We do the drive-through distribution on a Friday afternoon and then Saturday morning. So you, right now, there is openings in all of the time slots, but they are first come, first served. So another incentive, I guess, to register sooner. If you don't have a computer, it is mobile friendly. I will point that out. But if you just don't have access to a device, you can call 211 between the hours of 8 and 5 Monday through Friday, and one of our local resource specialists can just walk through the form, you know, fill it out basically while you're giving them the information. So I don't want you to think if you don't have a computer at your fingertips that you don't have the ability to sign up, but everyone does have to get logged in through this online system.
We've been doing this for so long. I had almost forgotten this, but it was odd. I thought of it this morning when I knew you were coming in. One of the things that we used to talk about a lot about with this subject, and I used to hear from listeners quite a bit that I haven't heard in a long time, is, well, how do I know if I qualify? How do I know if I need supplies? And I know that it might seem like a very basic question to some out there of, well, I mean, if you don't have all the supplies you need, certainly you need supplies. Your child does. But so many of us, especially Midwesterners, we're not great about asking for a hand up or even looking at our own lives and thinking, well, I'm okay. I'll make it all right. I'll just rub some dirt on it. I'll be fine. That's our MO. That's what we do around here. And I love us for that. I love our brethren and sisters for that. But at the same time, this is why this exists, is for people that are in need. And if you even think you are, I encourage you to reach out to United Way. Or even by filling out the registration in that, you might figure out, oh, I do need assistance, or oh, I don't. But I appreciate, I don't know, you know this world better than I do, Terry, but when it comes to something like this, I think a lot of people in society think, well, just everybody's trying to get these supplies or something.
No.
In fact, it's the opposite in many ways, where we're having to remind people and encourage people, hey, this is something this is a service, we're here for you, and we want to help out.
For sure. And that's why I think we use just kind of the loose you know, guideline of free and reduced lunch, but understand that there are some other, you know, hardships that could present themselves that you know someone didn't expect.
Terry, my kids are old. No, they're early 20s and everything, but they're not in school anymore, of course, and everything. But I know this is going on. We get excited about this, and I want to help. I want to be a part of things, and I still can.
Yeah, for sure. So we are collecting school supplies to meet the need of the children who register for Stuff the Desk. So the Stuff the Bus event happens on Thursday, August 7th at Lunch by the River. So United Way is the sponsor of Lunch by the River that day. We ask everyone to bring all their school supplies to us that day. They are sorted and inventoried, and so that is a really key date. We are currently in the process of asking local businesses to be collection sites, or, you know, maybe it's an organization. We typically hear from churches, for-profit businesses, other nonprofits, you know, that yes, we'll collect. Some people do just an internal collection from their employees. Some say, you know, the public can drop off here. You, of course, can always drop off at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street. But this all culminates on August 7th because, again, we inventory, and then if we have a gap and we've received monetary donations, then we will order what we're missing. So that's why, you know, we're so grateful for the donations, but sometimes it's frustrating. when 5 days after the collection and we've placed an order, then all of a sudden, you know, 500 more folders show up and it's like, oh, yeah, it would have been really nice to have these. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're, you know, we're trying to be out on the early side of it and just really get people going and having August 7th, you know, set their sights on that or before, right? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, it could come to us before. So we have a most needed list. You can find that on our website. You can find the list of what we are distributing to kids because we can't meet... you know, kind of each classroom teacher puts out a list and there's general things, right? Like, let's say they're a fifth grader. They need 4 solid color folders, 4 solid color notebooks, markers, glue stick, you know, but sometimes one teacher might say, oh, I'd like my students to have this. We are unable to meet all of those kind of one-offs, so to speak, but we will meet all of the basic items. But this gives the families an opportunity to pull up that list and say, okay, well, you know, my teacher list says 12 items. Steph the Bus is going to provide 10 of those items. I only need to figure out the other 2.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. More tornadoes were found as NWS continues to survey damage across the state after last Thursday's severe weather. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us more.
The National Weather Service Milwaukee confirms 7 tornadoes touched down in southern Wisconsin. This puts the state total at 12 tornadoes occurring on Thursday, May 15th. The newest added to the list Monday were in Sauk and Columbia counties. Rock Springs was given the strength rated at an EF0 with 70-mile-per-hour winds. It wasn't on the ground long. The other was in Portage and rated an EFU. Yep, you heard that right. That means unknown. The National Weather Service thinks it went through only a marsh and no damage was done. They say multiple videos and calls reported a brief touchdown along I-39, but surveys could not find damage along any roadways, suggesting a touchdown may have happened in the Baraboo River Waterfowl Production Area or Pine Island Estate Wildlife Area. Ratings for twisters are based on the damage seen. That's how the meteorologists are able to determine wind speeds of the tornado based on the damage. So when a tornado tears through a field, the strength can't be measured. A total of 4 EF2s ravaged parts of the state that night, and a total of 5 EF1s, 2 EF0s, and 1 EFU.
The staff at Jackson County Parks and Trails is warning ATV and UTV drivers to be careful when driving on roads in towns between the trails. They've received reports that town roads are being damaged. If this continues to happen, ATV and UTV drivers could lose access to being allowed on these roads. They are important connector paths to get from trail to trail. Jackson County staff ask that drivers operate with respect on any town roads. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a movie to watch, here's a Pete pick. As I might have mentioned, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning opens this weekend, so I thought I would give Dead Reckoning a rewatch, sort of a cinema stretch out before the big release. It's as good as I remembered it from 2 years ago. Cruise does battle with an AI-formed weapon called the Entity that can take on different forms. Isai Morales, Rebecca Ferguson, Haley Atwell, Simon Pegg, and Ving Rhames round out a great cast. Definitely worth a look before you head to the theater for The Final Reckoning. Singer Jessica Simpson ended her 15-year TV hiatus by performing, if not necessarily singing, on American Idol. The reviews were mostly negative, especially on social media, where everyone's a critic. Simpson belted out Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walkin' with Josh King on the season 23 finale Sunday night and sang her new song, Blame Me, and they did. Simpson's performance was uninspired and looked unrehearsed, but at least she tried way too hard. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have more rain on the way today. In fact, we could end up with another quarter inch or more by the time everything winds down this evening. Cloudy, a little breezy today with a high in the mid-50s. Tonight, the rain will end. We'll drop to the low 40s. Tomorrow, the sunshine returns with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll be on location at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn in Dane County, talking plants and Badger Honor Flight. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
To do our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff, and this time around we're going to talk about Donald Trump would love to call it his big beautiful budget bill, but as one energy newsletter put it, Trump's big oily bill, the anti-clean energy provisions in Trump's budget bill could raise household energy costs by as much as 7%. Melissa Baldoff, hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'd be a whole lot better if this is not what we were dealing with, but you know, such is life that we've got this, you know, so-called big beautiful bill that's going to cause, as Forbes is reporting, $1 trillion in economic damage from the House reconciliation bill.
And the funny thing is, and not funny, of course, but that it's so not necessary the way that climate has been politicized rather than, you know, an existential human crisis, a crisis for the planet, but also as an opportunity to create all of these new jobs and all of these new industries. And I'm still looking for anything based in facts or science that would give rationale to what this Trump agenda looks like right now. And I still don't have an answer other than if this is what big oil companies want, then I guess that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only answer here, that this is just, you know, a blatant and corrupt giveaway to, you know, billionaires and polluters. You know, it's great for them, right? Good news for them, bad news for everyone else. In this bill, because there's really no other explanation for it. These are people who ran on a promise to lower costs for the American people, and you know, on everything across the board, we are seeing much higher prices. And you know, when it comes to energy costs, this is just one example. You know, this plan to repeal clean energy tax credits is going to send energy prices through the roof. It's going to, you know, according to analysis, this bill would raise electricity prices for American families by more than $110 a year. This is going to put about 400,000 good paying jobs at risk. And most of those jobs are actually in Republican districts. You know, this is real people and real families, real households that are impacted by these decisions. And quite frankly, you know, these Republicans know it, and the rank and file folks, they know how unpopular this is. And, you know, I have to imagine that's part of why they're doing some of these things and making these votes in the middle of the night, because they don't want the light of day on some of these decisions that they're making.
No, which is why we talk about them as often as we do. And some of it is just flat out grifting. You know, the bill would also allow gas pipeline developers to pay a $10 million fee to bypass the normal permitting process. It would allow fossil fuel companies to pay the Department of Energy a $1 million fee to determine that a proposed methane gas export facility is, quote, in the public interest. Or as written up by the climate group Evergreen Action, this makes a farce of our permitting process and essentially legalizes corruption with a pay-to-play privilege for gas pipelines, and that Americans will be severely impacted by gas pipelines being built through their communities. Again, it seems like such a gimme question, Melissa, but there's a reason why we have a, quote, normal permitting process for these kinds of things.
Exactly. There's a reason why we have a process for things, and it is to ensure that there is fairness. There is, there are standards that are followed, that there are quality controls, that communities that are impacted have an opportunity to engage in the process. But, you know, as with most things, we know that that Trump and his administration, they value influence and money more than any of those things. So whether it's, you know, allowing polluters to, you know, just buy in to, a pipeline facility, or whether it's allowing people to just buy into our immigration system, they don't want to follow normal rules when it comes to their friends and someone they think might be able to enrich them.
Tony puts it up on YouTube so well. Finally, Republicans can be corrupt in public and not have to hide it anymore. I mean, that again, putting on your political strategist hat here is just the time I never thought we'd live in where, well, if you do your corruption right out there in the open, people will say, well, it must not be corrupt if he's doing it right out there in the open. But it is still what it is. It's still, you know, legalized bribery.
Exactly. It really is stunning to watch every single day the things that are really being normalized by Trump and this administration. And it is all the more important that we continue to talk about it like we do here and like so many others are and talking about it, because we cannot ever let it become normal. We can't let it become the standard. We can't let people believe that just because they are doing it out in the open, that it is okay, that it is something that is what we want this country to be and to be representative of who we are as Americans, because it is counter to everything that this country was founded on and that we believe.
Let's bring things a little closer to home here, because we are about to put up an op-ed on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, by John Iams, co-founder and director of the Wisconsin Environmental Initiative. And it's all about, again, in this opinion column, saying the Wisconsin Public Service Commission should reject the proposal to build a new methane gas plant in Oak Creek near Milwaukee and also in the Kenosha County town of Paris. Melissa, this is something we've talked about previously, the debate over what you would call a transitional energy source, where you're not burning big piles of coal, but you're also not moving all the way into solar, wind, battery storage, and things like that, and that in proposing instead a methane gas plant. I think we talked not only about these earlier, but also up in the Duluth Superior area where, I mean, these are real community debates about whether this is a proper transition getting away from coal, or if you wait and go the rest of the way.
Yeah, these are definitely really important debates that people are having. We know that the methane gas is still a pollutant, and it is something that is harmful to the community, and it is something that it is not going to be a clean source of energy. But on the other hand, we also know that that these are good paying jobs. So that's something that that are created by these facilities. So I think that's something that there is that debate in a lot of communities about, hey, you know, there's we need energy and we need production. We want it to be cleaner and we need these jobs. So I know that there's that conversation in a lot of communities, but you know, the thing I take issue with is the natural gas branding, because you know, it is still a pollutant. It is still an unhealthy fuel source that is dangerous to our communities. It might be a little cleaner, but it is not a source of clean energy.
Yeah, we're really getting into the I don't say the definition of but that really is where this falls. And like you said, complicating it, and I think that's a fair word, complicating, is that you have unions and other groups that are pushing for the construction of these gas plants because they do create the construction jobs. But again, it's a matter of what exactly are we constructing? What exactly are we building for these jobs? And so that's why we're going to continue following what the Public Service Commission is doing on this. And again, that particular op-ed will be showing up on our website very soon here. And along with that, Melissa, is a note in the column and something else that we've talked about, and that's data centers and these massive data centers like Microsoft and Google and Meta. And Microsoft has announced, you know, a data center in Mount Pleasant, but then they've already announced pausing the construction to reassess their energy needs. Again, in terms of any debate about the climate and what we build and what those new jobs are for, has to keep in mind something that I know we've talked about before, but for folks that might not be aware, when you talk about these data centers, there's a reason they're always being built near large supplies of fresh water. You need mm-hmm. that for the cooling of these things, and that's what leads to the debate about those, right?
Yes, absolutely. We know that they are a big drain on resources, and you know, I would also just say that you know, there's something else that I think that people should keep in mind when it comes to you know, the reports about, you know, oh, there's all this need for these data centers. You know, we keep hearing about the need for all these data centers, but then we keep also hearing about these projects being abandoned. And obviously we know we need more capacity in our grid. You know, we know we need more. But at the same time, we need, I think, to have a more comprehensive and strategic planning process in states across the country to know exactly what the right mix of our energy streams is, and not be, you know, so reliant on the energy companies to tell us what that is, because they are going to be incentivized to tell, you know, to say, hey, whatever's the most profitable for us and our shareholders is the right mix. So I think we need a very comprehensive planning process at the state level to be able to understand, you know, what's the right mix, what are the needs, because we know that the data centers are a huge drain on our natural resources. And we also know that a number of these projects across the country continue to be, you know, scrapped. And, you know, that's just something to really keep in mind, is as we approach any new large scale energy project, you know, who is this really benefiting? And, you know, what is the right mix for the people of Wisconsin? Because from my perspective, we need to really focus on Wisconsin made energy, so that more people and more communities are controlling their energy future and have that energy sovereignty.
Melissa Baldoff with our climate check. As always, Melissa, thanks for catching up. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Coming up tomorrow on the program, of course, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki, a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. And then on Friday, we will talk to William Garcia from the La Crosse area, also running for a state party chair. And also tomorrow, Michelle Velasquez of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin will be along. And one more reminder, you've got matinee baseball today starting at 11:35 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow reminding you it's about every one of these words in our national promise, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Terry, we were talking about when the kiddos are a little bit in the teenage and or younger and getting into school and stuff, but before that, we want to help out as well because we're talking about the diaper drive.
I mean, yeah, we are. We're having a lot of conversations about how we impact kids and provide people with the supplies and items that they need. And so this was a response. Last year, we held the first one. To just hearing from community partners.
Last year's was really successful, too. I meant to bring this up the other day with you. I'm still blown away when I think about
15,000 diapers.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's really
for a
incredible.
First.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
So we are currently collecting diapers.
And one family used all of them. No, no,
they're still using them.
They're still using them. Yeah, this is like one kid.
We are collecting diapers, wipes, and pastes and creams for, you know, for local programs that are hearing from community members that, you know, I need diapers, I don't have access to, or I have diapers, but I don't have enough, right? And so then that becomes a cleanliness, a health, you know, issue with children. So we responded last year again with our first diaper drive and continued it this year. And we're seeing a, you know, we're seeing a nice response. I also had the opportunity to write a grant, which leveraged some dollars to supplement what we receive in donations. And so our goal is that from Mother's Day to Father's Day, you know, we leverage as many as the community will support. And then we will be distributing those to three locations in Southwood County, to First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center, the Family Center, and the Food Pantry. This is where people who have these needs are presenting. This is also an opportunity for our resource specialists at 211 to say, you know, I understand that you have this need. Here's where you can find, you know, here's where you can go. We don't have the capacity. We've been seeing some United Ways popping up their own, like, diaper banks. We don't have like the physical capacity. Our building is small. And then you run into like, well, do you spend money on a location when you really could just spend the money on the diapers, right? Because these organizations that I mentioned that we are partnering with, they're already seeing the clientele, right? So we can just get them the supplies they need. So again, you know, thinking through not duplicating and cost and all of that. So those are the three distribution locations in Southwood County. We expanded this year to the Adams County part of our service area as well. So collecting diapers there, and then those will be distributed through UW Extension, Adams County, and some of their partners. So, you know, I think we've got a good thing going. And again, you know, trying to really listen and hear what the community needs are. And we had a great response last year, and looking forward to the same as this continues up through Father's Day.
We appreciate everybody who has already donated. Continue, keep that going, everybody. It's a great investment in their future and helping out those that could really use it. Appreciate you.
And just one other thing regarding diapers. The greatest need is actually the largest sizes. So, you know, while there's less in the box for the same price, right? You get more newborn size diapers than you get size six. But what we're hearing, the feedback we're getting is that sizes, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go buy a bag of diapers, what we're hearing is size 4, 5, and 6 are just really where the greatest need is. So just consider that if you're, you know, if you're thinking about supporting this, that's where the greatest need lies.
We're speaking with CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. And Terry wanted to talk about another event and then spend some time a little bit on 211 with you. But just again, some breaking news here for everybody. I was talking with Stephanie yesterday a little bit, and I have agreed after a long negotiation to be a judge again once more for United Weekend. We worked it out somehow with all my, you know,
so you're paying us
needs and everything. Yeah, well, that's really what it comes down to. I was trying to have to pay you less, and actually somehow I'm paying you guys more than I love being a part of this, a tiny little part of the United Weekend event. It is probably my favorite event you guys do every year. It's such a, because of the combination of things. I have admitted many times one of my bigger passions is hunger in our country, and something I've paid attention to since I was a little kid. But I love the idea of how much of a community event this is, and the more and more it feels like every year it just becomes more and more of such a community event that everybody gets a part of. Last year I was talking to somebody at one of the last week of the season, went to a game in Winter Field. I'm talking to somebody and they were talking about this event for this year and looking forward to it. They did not even know I worked at the radio station, didn't know I knew you or anything like that. I thought it was just really cool to hear. I know how much people enjoy this because it's a fun event. We're going to a Rafter game, we're going to see a Rafter win, and we're doing some good. This community does this better than anybody, having fun while also raising funds or helping out a community, you know, people.
Yeah, so when you think about the history of this event, you know, really we said we have a lot of really great food programs that are meeting, you know, almost able to meet all the need, or all the need that we're aware of, right? Because sometimes we just don't know, you know, what people need or how much people need. But we took it from the standpoint of, how do we educate the community that there are hunger challenges here, you know, in our community? So that was really what made us think, oh, let's do, you know, let's hop on the food sculpture contest, because it just educates the general public who otherwise just aren't thinking about it. They haven't had a need. They haven't been asked to donate, you know, whatever. But they just might not have found themselves in the space where they understand that there's hunger issues. So, that was kind of what started it. And then the food from the sculptures is the bonus, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is anyone who attends the Rafter game comes, sees the sculptures, maybe asks some questions, maybe they don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they learn a little bit about hunger by listening to some of the statistics that are read. Or maybe they, you know, we have an opportunity to do a collection during the game. You know, maybe they reach in their pocket and throw all their change in the bucket. Maybe mm-hmm. they throw a five in the bucket. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an opportunity, like just right now in real time for a couple of hours, to be thinking about the hardship that someone else, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that they're sitting next to, might be experiencing. And then the true bonus is the next day our local food programs come and they get to pick up the food and it goes back into, you know, it goes to their organizations. And so when someone presents at the food pantry, now maybe there's, you know, 40 more cans of corn because it was used in a sculpture and that kind of, you know, that's the bonus. But really, you know, our motivation and the idea behind it is to just have the general public understand that we do have hunger challenges here in our community. So this event is taking place on June 17th. It is a Tuesday night, happens at the Rafters. The game is 6:35. I have no idea who they play. Sorry, it's just not relevant to me at this point. Right, right.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House lawmakers have been debating the president's budget bill since 1 a.m. GOP Representative Jim Jordan.
The resources we have in this bill, in short, will allow for 10,000 new ICE agents, 100,000 new detention beds, and the resources for the repatriation of 1 million migrants.
Sales fell more than expected for Target in the first quarter, and there are concerns shoppers will cut back more on spending because of tariffs. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Target has been going through problems since the pandemic. That was a time when a lot of people pulled back on their discretionary spending and went back to basics like groceries.
A maintenance worker has been arrested for allegedly helping 10 inmates break out of a New Orleans jail. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell.
Still are conducting a very thorough investigation of the staff. We will also look at broader conditions at the facility.